Well, church, we are so delighted to see so many of you out this evening as we continue to now navigate through the Lenten season. If this is a new experience for you, or just our format on these Wednesday nights will be very much what you're going to experience today. We're going to spend a little extra time lingering in worship. And then we will each Wednesday night have a teaching. I'll address that in just a moment. And then afterwards, as you noticed when you came in, we will just spend some time just enjoying a light dinner together of soup and bread. We can't thank you enough to those who are part of helping to bring all of that in. But our hope is that you will truly choose to stick around. Because you've heard us say this in so many different times and spaces, but we really do believe that our faith tends to be the most sharpened when we navigate in the faith spaces and in our any space of our life side by side with other believers. So we just encourage you to take some time to build some relationship, to enjoy some soup, because we really do have some great soups as well, but to make the most of the opportunity that is before you. On these Wednesday nights. As I said, we love the idea of giving you some extra time to just build some relationships with each other. And when about 3 years ago, we were looking at Wednesday nights of Lent and trying to wrestle through what we thought would really be a meaningful experience and a rich, enriching experience for the church. And what kind of came through all of our wrestling was that we thought it would just be really meaningful to have all of you have the opportunity to hear from some people who sit in the seats of our church, but who are not typically up here at a podium or on the platform. So they're not the speakers that you're used to being able to hear from, but they are people who just witness such a commitment to their faith life. And they're all around you. I hope that you consider yourself one of those people as well, because I will tell you, as we approach people and ask, hey, would you be willing to take an opportunity? Very often they'll go, one, public speaking. But then secondly, just wrestling through like what are the meaningful things that God has for them to share. But each of us in this room has a meaningful something that God has for you to share. So clearly we're not going to put all of you up on the platform, but we do love the opportunity we have to think through that a little bit and make some invitations to people to come and use this space and minister to all of you in that way. So our speaker for tonight, when I was going through and thinking about who I'd like to invite, I strive to do both genders and kind of get the cross-section of ages as well. So when I was looking and thinking about this, it was very easy for me to settle on Lacey Charnetsky. If you're at all familiar with the Charnetsky family, they've been around forever. So they're very engaged in ministry, and Lacey and her husband Leon like to kind of stay in the background on certain things, but they have a faith that is just rich and meaningful and not perfect. Nobody in this room has a perfect faith. But we actually, if you've been around the last couple years, we had her daughter Anna share with us Anna, were you 16 or 17 when we had you come up? 16. We had her daughter Anna share with us in the first year that we were doing this. Leon has also been up here. We've loved that they're not repeats of each other, because the Lord is working so uniquely in each of their lives. So I'm just really excited for you to be able to hear from Lacey tonight. I will just give you this one last thing, and I'm going to turn it over to her. When I was emailing with her or texting with her, I think about like just final details for this, she said, I hope I'm not taking something you want to say, Lacey. But she said, I hope I'm like my voice won't be shaky, and because this is not her natural space to come and stand in front of all of you. She said, because I just don't want my voice to betray the confidence that I actually have in God's word, because I am confident in God's word. So that just gives you a little taste of who you're gonna hear from tonight. So let's welcome Lacey Charnetsky.
Thank you. I thought you were going to lower it a little. Thank you. So it's so wonderful to be able to speak about the Lord, who has completely changed my life, in front of so many people that I love so much. However, my son chose TNT, So to everyone who works in TNT, very well done. You're way cooler than mom. On the ride home from school pickup today, my fifth grader said, "Mom, I'm going to youth tonight." I said, "Oh, you are? Yeah, I can watch the video of you anytime, but the chicken wing contest." So Pastor Ben, thank you for that, I think. However, she's here, so I'm cooler than a chicken wing. Yay! I'm going to quickly pray. Please join me. Lord, thank you so much for bringing each of us here tonight. I pray that all of these words would honor you and you alone, and that someone here would grow from them, because I know that I have. In your name I pray. Amen. So today I'd like to share a very simple message of encouragement about when things are difficult. It is inevitable that we will all face difficulty, trial, unexpected situations. In fact, the Bible tells us this many times over and over again, that we can expect this. Here are just a few verses that tell us that we can expect hardship. Psalm 34:19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. James 1:2. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I don't know the details of what difficult time you may be facing or may face in the future. Maybe it's a job loss, a fracture in a relationship. Maybe it's a diagnosis for you or a loved one. Maybe it's some anxiety or some worry, a big decision coming up or a nagging thought of regret. Whatever it may be, God is clear in his word over and over again that he is with us. I shared a few verses about trials, but listen to these promises about those trials. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Psalm 91:11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 62:1 through 2, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Psalm 27:5, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. What great promises to cling to. Today, I'd also like to share four things that I have found helpful during trials. Maybe one of these things is something new for you that you could commit to trying, putting into your daily life during this season of Lent to help you be prepared for when a difficult situation comes. So number one, know who God is and who he says I am. How do we know something? We learn it. We study it. Learning is purposeful and requires practice. This comes from being in his word. God's word is full of his faithfulness over and over again. His word shows us God's character throughout the Bible. here's just a glimpse of who God is. He is good. He is faithful. He is a provider and a protector. He is peace. He is a rock, a stronghold, a comforter, a refuge. He is near to us, and he hears us. He is our salvation, our strength, our help, and our shield. The Bible also tells us who we are. And a friend once encouraged me to write these things down as a list. And here is just a part of that list. I am sustained, carried, rescued. I am named by him. I am full of power, love, and self-discipline. I am anointed. I am helped and shielded. I am given rest for my soul. I am forgiven and I am made new. I am fearfully and wonderfully made and I am loved. If you've never taken the time to write out a list of who God is, this season of Lent may be a great time to commit to that, to dive into his word and make note of who he is. Read and reread the list. Know his character and his faithfulness. When I face a hard day or a hard moment, I want to know without question that he is with me. I want to be sure of it and be prepared with that truth of who he is. How much better is it to be prepared for these storms that come along when things get difficult or something unexpected happens, to already know that God is good, that it's unquestionable that he is with you and will see you through. I want to have this truth and know his goodness on my best days so that I'm prepared with that truth on my worst days. I love this quote that I read in a devotional that I was reading on the Bible app. It says, "Nothing shuts up a lie like knowing the truth unshakably in your core." That's what I want. An unshakable knowledge of the truth of who God is. That even if I'm having a hard time, it is unshakable that he is good. What else has helped me during a trial? Number two is memorizing scripture. There is power in speaking God's word aloud. The book of Ephesians teaches us to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the enemy's schemes. And part of this armor that's mentioned in chapter 6, verse 17, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A sword, a weapon. His word is a powerful weapon that we can use to fight off the lies, the worry, the uncertainty that often comes during a hard moment, right? Jesus himself used the word as a weapon against the enemy. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted, and here's what it says in verses 1 through 11. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you and will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. For it is written. Jesus knew there is nothing more powerful than the truth of God's word. He quoted it back to the devil, and what does it say? It says the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. God's word is powerful. We can use it against the enemy who wants to fill us with thoughts of worry or anxiety that come alongside us when we're going through a trial. Memorizing scripture means studying it over and over again. We can learn new things, however, by reading the same verse over and over again. A portion of scripture I memorized recently is Psalm 23. It's a very popular passage. I had heard it many times. You've probably heard it many times. I'd read it. But I had never actually taken the time to memorize it. I kept hearing pieces of it in devotionals and in song lyrics, so I decided I was going to memorize it. And in doing so, in reading it over and over, in taking the time to study it, I actually learned something new about something I had heard so often and was so familiar. I learned about the Lord's rod and staff. Now, a staff has that hook at the end that is used to guide or pull back in toward the shepherd. But I'd never really thought about the rod. The rod, think of it like a scepter, is a signal of power. Not only that, it's a weapon fighting off the prey. So I now have a new picture of this verse. Still the stillness, the sweet stillness of the waters and the peace of the green pastures, but I can also see the Lord fighting for me. He is keeping me safe. A hard time can sometimes make us feel less safe, but I have whispered this sweet promise to myself over and over again. Your rod and your staff are guiding me and protecting me. I've prayed it aloud over a child. That's another powerful thing about knowing his word. It's ready. We can speak it over those around us. Maybe memorizing scripture could be a new commitment you make during Lent if you've never taken the time to memorize just one verse. So number one, know who God is. Number two, memorize scripture. The third thing I've learned to do when things are hard is to give up things that bring noise. For me, it's social media, but it could be certain genres of music or movies. It could be overcommitment, whatever it is for you. Stepping away from something that brings you noise can open a door to you spending more time with God. This is something we're used to doing during Lent, right? Cutting something out to make room to grow closer to God, to make more time and space for prayer. Pray specifically about whatever it is you're walking through. Thank him for his faithfulness throughout your life. Extra time with God is always a beautiful thing, but even more so when we're going through something unexpected. The fourth thing I've learned to do when things are difficult is ask for prayer. This is not always easy. It feels vulnerable, and that's not an easy emotion for many of us. But people will listen. People will support you. Others have been there and they have experienced God's faithfulness through the same situation you're facing. People will point you back to Jesus and point you to other people who've been there. In Exodus 17, Moses has to hold his hands up, essentially to keep people safe. But his hands grow tired. So those around him place a stone underneath him to sit on, and one man on each side holds his arms up for him. Sometimes we need holding up. Other times God will use us to hold up others. And let me tell you, God can bless us in both of those situations, both as an encourager and as someone needing encouragement. We can be blessed and we can grow. I think it's a tactic of the enemy to get us to believe we're alone, to get us to believe no one would want to hear from us. Nobody wants to hear about our struggles. No one would understand. No one's dealt with this. Or that would be a burden, or we'd be judged. To get us to believe we're the only ones struggling. Feeling alone adds a negative layer when we're already going through a hard time. If you have found yourself thinking you're the only one struggling with XYZ, let me tell you, those are lies. You're never alone. This church is full of people who will hold you up, who will pray for you faithfully, who will check in on you. More importantly than that, though, God never leaves us alone. We're never alone. I love this quote as well by author Lisa Turkhurst. If the enemy can isolate us, he can influence us. I'm going to say that one more time. If the enemy can isolate us, he can influence us. Maybe in this season of Lent, you could be more intentional about building relationships with other believers. Or commit to praying specifically for those around you. So when things are difficult, know who God is and who he says you are. Memorize some scripture. Let go of things that bring noise and reach out to other believers. I don't know if any of those four ideas resonate with anyone else, but here's what I do know. We will face trials. Whether yours lasts an hour or a year, I don't know. But God is with you. When we put our hope and our trust in the Lord, he can use that trial for good. I love music. And I'm going to close with a portion of lyrics. Don't worry, I'll read them, not sing them. Portion of lyrics from a song that I have had on repeat lately. It's a song by Brandon Lake, and it's called Hard Fought Hallelujah. Because sometimes when days are difficult, it's harder to lift up a hallelujah. But you know what I think? I think it's still pleasing to God, even if it's hard. So here's what it says. Faith isn't proven like gold till it's been through the fire. My head, heart, and hands are feeling heavy, but that's when I lift them just a little bit higher. I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, been-through-hell hallelujah. I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sail, story to tell hallelujah. Because God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious, faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing. I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, it is well, hallelujah. It is well, even when it's hard, right? Amen. Thank you.
So good. I was reached in my pocket for my phone because I keep digital notes and I didn't have it. I'm like, oh, but I will remember it. Know God. I know you have to memorize scripture, eliminate the noise, and reach out to other believers. Thank you, Lacey. Powerful word. As I said, we're going to close things up this evening by giving you an opportunity to just spend some time with each other. One of the things we've done and are doing each week is we ask our speaker to just give us a couple of questions that we put at the table. So you'll notice there's little table tents there that have two questions on them. So if you're just lacking for conversation at your table, we'd encourage you to bring it up as a conversation starter, but really to take the opportunity to think through a bit of what Lacey had shared tonight and how it can apply and can be added into your life, especially in this Lenten season. Let me give you just a couple of housekeeping notes before we do dismiss. We would ask you that if you have a preschooler or somebody in the grade school age, that you do go check those kids out before you come have soup, bring them with you. If you have kids who are in the youth space on the far end, we would ask you to let them finish service. They go until about 8 o'clock. So we do ask that we just kind of let them be able to finish things up. You'll know when they're done because they'll start to come this way. They smell the soup. So don't worry. They will let you know that they're ready to be done. A couple of other things on that note of soup. I know we say this all the time, but we do each week look for people who are willing to bring stuff in. And there's a sign up at guest services. But in addition, what's really helpful to us is if you're able, we just ask like after we're done around 8 o'clock, we need like 3 or 4 people to help us clean up the soup ladles and the water crafts and things like that. So there's a sign up for that if you'd be willing to sign up. But otherwise, if you can just even, you can flag me down, or if you know Brenda, flag Brenda down and see, hey, do you need some extra hands if you happen to be here on a Wednesday? That's always helpful as well. So let me pray for us and then I'm going to send us out. Lord, I thank you so very much for Lacey. I thank you for the way that you just continue to cultivate and grow the woman that she is. And I thank you for this great word that she shared with us tonight. I pray, God, that we would take those truths to heart that she shared, that we would each be encouraged to continue to put new things in place in our life that keep giving strength to our relationship with you and keep us steady when these trials do come. I pray that you would bless the food that we're going to share this evening. I pray that you bless the hands that have prepared it. And I pray that our conversations would be honoring to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks for being here, everybody. Soup's on. Remember to go grab your kids and we'll see you on Sunday.